Chapter 18, All the Way with Jesus. Things that Joe would only later learn about began to happen. His brother Ralph, who had prayed for him many years, knew the way Joe had been raised. And since Ralph's baptism into the Seventh-day Adventist Church in 1930, he had been praying for both Joe and Ernest. In 1945, Ernest also accepted the third angel's message and was baptized, and Ralph had rejoiced. Then Ernest joined his prayers with those of Ralph in Joe's behalf. About 4 years after the little church had been completed, the Central Seventh-day Adventist Church, under the pastoral leadership of Elder Ralph Larson, started an active prayer meeting, breaking into groups of four or five. Each group chose its own specific list of names. After a few weeks, Elder Larson was approached by Buddy Richard Kelly and Herbert Lehman, who belonged to one of the small groups along with Ralph, and asked if he would join their prayer band. Buddy Kelly knew the power of prayer. Elder Larson had introduced it to him in a richer, fuller way, and he had recently seen a vivid answer in his own family. When Elder Larson agreed to join this group, its members felt that at long last they could accomplish what they knew the Lord had ordained. The first time Elder Larson met with the group, he asked the names on their prayer list. They had placed Joe's at the top. That name at the time meant nothing to Elder Larson, other than that Joe was a brother of two members of his church. These bands prayed not only on Wednesday evenings, but also all through the week. Each member had an assigned time of the day, so that there was constant prayer for the people named on the group's list. Most of these people still thought of Joe as a kahuna, not realizing how far the Lord had already led him. Joe never considered himself a kahuna, although many others did. The term kahuna is most frequently thought of as witch doctor, or one who receives messages directly from the spirits. Joe always received his messages through someone else, so he had never considered himself a Hawaiian witch doctor. However, those praying for him had no knowledge of where or how he received his instructions, and even while he had been a member of the Lanakaila Church, they had considered his healing as being done as a kahuna. When Elder Larson agreed to pray for Joe, no one had told him about Joe's background, and for several weeks he prayed along with the others. One night, before they had prayer, he asked who this Joe Pumehilani was. Elder Larson admitted later that when someone told him that Joe was a kahuna, he almost gave up on the spot. While other people on the list, one by one, changed their ways, and some were even baptized, for a time it seemed that Joe went even further away from the Adventist Church. He resented anyone's telling him what he should do with his church. Several people urged him to give it to the Adventists and join that church. This conflicted with his Hawaiian pride. After all, he had been told to build the church. He had been called the shepherd of the flock, and no further instruction had been given to him. Joe encouraged Rose when she again became interested in the Voice of Prophecy lessons. She wrote for them and this time completed the entire course. With her keen mind, she could help Joe understand things that he still found difficult and elusive. One thing he simply could not accept was the writings of a Mrs. Ellen G. White, whom he had heard one of the Adventists call a prophet. So many recommended her books, trying to get him to read some of them, that it began to appear to him that they valued her writings above the Bible itself. This disillusioned Joe. He had never been given any messages concerning these books and felt no need of them. About this time, some began to say that Joe claimed to be a prophet. Those petty accusations delayed his spiritual progress. Somehow it didn't occur to Joe that the Lord had led him this far by supernatural means, only to expect him to accept additional truth by a different means. Joe believed that the remnant would come out of all churches if they believed and lived the truth. He discussed this with Carl, who now had been transferred to Hilo for his work. On occasions when Carl and Edna visited on Oahu, they stayed in Joe and Rose's home. Joe and Rose's confidence in Carl grew with each visit. In time, Joe came to accept Carl. In the absence of the voice or the being in white as his spiritual advisor. By now the voice had ceased speaking to him. Rose's health continued to improve, especially after her baptism. There were several relapses, but they didn't last as long and usually weren't as severe as previously. In her studies with the voice of prophecy, she learned the full truth about the spirit of prophecy, who had inspired the writings of Mrs. White. She began reading some of these books, and what she found delighted her. She pointed out to Joe that Mrs. White never claimed to change any of the Bible or to add different truths to it. She read to him where Mrs. White stated that her writings should be used like a magnifying glass, enlarging the Bible truth so that it could be more easily understood. When the administrators of the Hawaiian Mission of Seventh-day Adventists asked Elder Larson to hold another series of evangelistic meetings, they decided on the Waimanalo area. Joe still had the only church in the entire district. When the meetings started, both the Kaneohe and Kailua churches promised support and assistance. Joe and Rose also attended. It was late November, and after only 1 week, Kaneohe pulled out of the series to start ingathering. At the end of the second week, Kailua also had to take time out for ingathering. Joe and Rose missed seeing the larger number of people in attendance and didn't understand what the word ingathering meant. They were among the faithful few who followed through to the end of the meetings. Joe gave no outward sign, but a struggle raged in his heart. If only Carl Thompson had been closer, he could have talked with him. But in the end, he realized the decision must be his and Rose's. Elder Larson encouraged them as they attended the meetings. He showed them passages from Ellen White's writings concerning not staying separate, but pulling together. Joe and Rose's problems didn't involve accepting the beliefs of Adventism. By this time, they shared every belief. Joe, however, could still remember the voice telling him to build the church, and also that he was to be the shepherd. One night, while Elder Larson spoke, the struggle still raged in Joe's heart. Joe saw the image he now recognized as Jesus Christ standing at Elder Larson's right hand on the platform. Suddenly, the confusion cleared from his mind. Joe went forward. He gave his heart anew to the Lord Jesus. No longer did he doubt. No longer did he wonder what he should do. Peace flooded his soul. Rose sat apart from him with some friends. When Joe went forward, one of his friends whispered to her, "Rose, Joe is going forward." "No, no," Rose replied, "not Joe. He would never do that." "Yes, Joe is up front right now." "Then he doesn't realize what it means." Joe and Rose rode toward home after the meeting, each quiet with his own thoughts. Finally, Rose asked, "Joe, do you know what this means?" "Yes, I know. The Adventists are right. I feel I should no longer be a minister. No one in our congregation can take over our church. What'll we do?" Rose knew how much the church meant to Joe. It had been the most important thing in their lives. Long before they built the one in Waimanalo, Joe had made his decision, and now she must make hers. She replied, "Joe, if you feel you must do something, do it. I know the sacrifice you've made for so long. Everything we've ever had is tied up in the church. But whatever you decide is all right with me." "But would you rather sell it or give it to the Adventists?" This thought startled Rose. Selling it, she could understand. But give it as a gift? She knew Joe too well to try to decide for him. She only said, "If you want to give it to the Adventists, that's all right with me. We really don't need the money that much." Joe kept hoping Carl would make one of his visits in the near future. He wanted him to be the intermediary when he definitely made up his mind. He and Rose continued praying, wanting to be absolutely certain that they were doing God's will. They knew that only through prayer would they find the answer. As they prayed, the Holy Spirit worked on Joe's heart. Finally, the answer came. He knew without doubt what they should do. Approximately 1 year from the time the prayer band had placed Joe's name at the top of the list, Joe learned later, he and Rose made their decision for the Lord. Elder Larson received a call quite late one night and heard Joe say, "We've decided to turn our church over to the Adventists." Joe made another call, this time to Elder Cree Sandifer, the mission president at that time, telling him of his decision. Then he made one more call to his brother Ralph. Well, both ministers were overjoyed that Joe had finally decided to go all the way with Jesus. His phone call left Ralph almost speechless. "Brother," he stammered, I think you're doing the right thing." Ralph later told Joe of all the years he had prayed for him, and that it was difficult for him to believe his ears. Word spread rapidly from member to member, especially those who had been praying for Joe and Rose. When Ernest heard the news, his heart overflowed with thanksgiving. He had been through much of what Joe had been through, and knew how difficult his way had been. Prayer meeting the next Wednesday evening at Central Church was a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving. It had been a long time, but they thanked God for the miracle he had wrought. Joe met with several of the mission brethren and made an offer of transferring the church to the mission. The existing personal loan was to be paid through Joe. While the men discussed it, Joe overheard them wondering what they could do for classrooms for Sabbath school. When they reconvened, he offered them his home also, to be used for the needed classrooms. The mission committee, led by Elder Sandifer, felt that it could not accept his home. Joe would be left with nothing for all his years of hard work. Joe's response was, "I'm young. I can start again." The mission insisted on buying the home, so that Joe and Rose would have enough to get started on another home for themselves. After offering to move their house to another piece of property, if one could be located, land especially with no dwellings was difficult to find, and they were unable to find anything near enough to make moving the house practical. So it was that the mission agreed to accept the church as it was and pay off the existing loan. All of Joe's hard work and money put into the church went as a gift of love on his part. With the money from the home, Joe and Rose were able to make a down payment on another home, and thus the classrooms were available as soon as they were needed. The wheels turned very slowly, and while the mission voted to accept the church on Joe's terms in the March of 1958, it wasn't until September 24, 1958, that the Waimanalo Company was organized as part of the Hawaiian Mission of Seventh-day Adventists. Both Joe and Rose were baptized by the pastor of the Kailua Church prior to this time, and their names were included among the 32 charter members of the Waimanalo Company. Kalani was still in Haile Mohelu home for lepers. He stayed until the doctor pronounced him cured, one of the fortunate few who suffered no disfigurement. When the home was ready to discharge him, he felt he had no reason to return to Kaui. Joe and Rose visited him regularly. The leprosy did not reoccur. He lived at Haile Mohelu in his retirement years, enjoying the company of many other recovered ones who preferred shelter and protection from the world of curious eyes. He was a very learned man, and Joe and Rose often talked with him about their new belief. But somehow he couldn't accept it. He had gone to Honolulu hoping that Joe would be able to help him, not knowing that Joe had changed. When he found that Joe had become a Christian, he was disappointed. But his love for him and his family did not change. His Catholic beliefs were too deeply embedded for him to make a change. Still a good friend, he seemed puzzled that Joe could break away from his old beliefs, insisting that it was impossible to break away from the spirits. Joe and Rose realized as they visited him from time to time that he was failing, and shortly after their baptism he passed to his rest. While God had transformed Joe's life largely before joining the Adventist Church, the pride that had held him out so long disappeared when he finally turned his life over completely with no reservations. Joe is still a praying Christian man who thanks God every day of his life for his guidance that finally led him to a full surrender. While the Lord did not see fit to ever restore Rose completely to full health, she continued to improve following her decision to go all the way with the Lord. Joe knows that the Lord can heal not only broken bodies, but also broken spirits. He is still the supreme ruler, even in the realm of devils. Who should know better than someone who has been there and found his way back, and Joe was there?